This is the North Peace Roundtable Podcast, your weekly podcast about theology and the Christian life. Well,
the Velcro is sticking to my shirt. I was like, as you were doing the intro, I was like,
oh. Well, thanks for tuning in. This is another episode of Off the Record. Our super fans are getting two episodes this week because it's Christmas and we love you guys.
Merry Christmas.
But yeah, if you're new to this, the Off the Record special podcast is just me and Corlin sitting here. We kicked Cameron out of the... No, I'm just kidding. It just works a lot better because we both work in the same place. So what we do is this is very much off the record. We don't have a set topic and we just have written down or we have some ideas in our brains about things we want to talk about. And then we just, I don't know, spend a little bit talking about them.
We both like talking. We both like discipleship. So why not try and use the tools at hand?
Yep. So how's your week been, Corland?
It's been good. Today's my birthday.
Today, I was...
quarter of a century old.
25 years old.
It's funny, 24 hit me harder. 25, like, I know I'm still young. I get that. So I'm not trying to like, oh, I'm so... Because I'm not. But like 24, I remember, it was like, turning 20 was like, sweet. I no longer have teen at the end of my age. Like, yeah, I'm finally an adult. Yeah. 21 was like, yeah, that's right. This is setting in. 22 was like, all right. And 23 was like... okay. And 24 was like, this isn't stopping already.
This isn't stopping.
And then 25, for some reason this year, it's like, no, it's been a good year. This is sweet. I get to actually celebrate that and look forward to what God has in the new year. So I don't know.
And you're married. You got a kid coming soon.
Yeah.
This is your year. I declare it.
Oh, boy.
And I'm a decade older, and that feels weird to say.
Yeah, I know.
Because I thought back, when I was 25... I had just gotten married. Like, we got married in July, so August, September, October. I had been married 3 months.
Wow.
And I was a youth pastor. I was a youth pastor at a church.
Same.
No kids.
That's also same, yeah, okay, until the end of beginning of January.
Are we in a time loop? Are you me from the past?
I think so.
But anyways, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Yeah, and his wife brought in butter chicken to the office, and
it was amazing.
Man, it smelled so good.
Right?
I was quite jealous.
I've had many people either like stand at the office and like
and
obviously sniff, or like come in and be like, man, the whole church smells like it.
It smells so good. And here's why. Because Thursday, we go grocery shopping usually Thursday night or Friday morning for the entire week.
Okay.
We're a once a weeker.
Yep.
So Thursday lunch is the worst lunch because we're out of everything. So I had gone home and was like, okay, we've got like a tortilla, some lunch meat. I'll just like make it in the microwave and like roll it up, and it's this weird wrap. And then I come in and it's like the most beautiful smell in the world. I'm like, dang it, man, that smells
good.
That
takes dedication to not just go and buy lunch.
It's helped us save a ton of money when we like buy food for the week once a week. And it's like, nope, no runs to the grocery store. Just
make what you can.
Yeah, anyways.
Yeah, you're a once a weeker. I'm a once a we need her. If we need her, then you go get her. Yeah.
All right. So what do you got on your list? What do you want to talk about? What's been on your mind lately?
Lots. You know me. I always have things to talk about. I think the first thing that I want to touch on is just how amazing the Bible is. Like, even you and I were talking a little bit about it earlier, and we were talking about just how connected the Bible is in the sense of from Genesis to Revelation, it is consistent, it is accurate. Like, I don't know, with going through the courses that I am right now that the church has asked for me to do, and then also just personal study, I every time I read it lately, I'm like, I can't believe how consistent a piece of literature that was made up by so many different people is.
Yep.
Right? It's one of those things where, at least for me, I don't know if it's actually like a true apologetics strategy per se, but for me, it's one of those things where it's like, man, if you question how someone could believe the Bible is true, I would ask, have you read it? Like, have you, and I haven't even been through the whole thing yet. And it still already is like, oh my goodness. Like every story, there is something that points back everything. Like even in the books that you don't necessarily feel are, I don't know what the right word is. The books that are maybe boring to read through, so to speak, like in the Old Testament early on, they still have purpose then. Cause then you hear about like Jesus or Paul will quote it in the New Testament. And it's like, what? Like, it's just so wild to me. I think for me, it's such an exciting thing. And it also stands true then when the Bible says that it is God's word that is living and alive type deal. It's true. It proves itself to be true. So that's really cool.
Yeah,
that's
I remember growing up, the Bible was, I viewed it as somewhat boring, but besides the classics that you go to, right?
Yep.
Those are cool stories. But I always viewed it as like just this random collection of non-connected stories that I'm like, okay, what does this have to do with anything? And then, I would say it was definitely like Bible college to a certain degree, like seminary to a certain degree. But it was mainly more just like my own study and then some books so you read the Bible, and then because I'm a nerd, you read books about the Bible.
Yeah.
And just stuff that, like, I remember Tim Keller was a huge influence on me, his preaching book, when he's like, literally, it's all about Jesus. And there was a few other preaching books, because I wanted to know, how do I actually preach this well?
Yeah,
right? And then it was like, wow, they're right. It's literally all about Jesus, like, from cover to cover. And then, the Bible Project, I know we've been kind of nerding out on that lately because for those of you who don't know, they have some free seminary level courses. I would encourage you to look into that. It's called Classroom. If you just Google Classroom Bible Project, they're free.
There's multiple different courses you can take.
Yeah, we've been doing one. I'm behind. Cortland's ahead of me because I just use my kids as an excuse. But like I've done 11 sessions and I think it says I'm 30% done.
Yeah,
of course.
Like that.
Yeah, an estimated 13 hours left. I'm like, holy.
Yeah.
I like it because for me, the seminary part was fun, except the assignments. I hated doing assignments.
That is fair.
I told Corland today, like they were talking about Genesis 2 and the man formed from the dust and like, what does that mean? And you know, is it literally that we're literally made out of dust? Well, maybe, or maybe it's this theme over here. And I agree that like so much of my recent learnings has been like, wow, the Bible is an unbelievable book. And it all does. It's
let's specify, it is believable because it's true.
Yeah.
It's unbelievably true.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. It's unbelievable.
You said that once in a sermon and I was like, that's a very poor choice of words because you were like explaining a truth about who God was or something that was like...
Did I say like it's too good to be true?
No, you were like, it's unbelievable. And I was like, nah, but I know what you're saying, but like, I don't know. It's just funny wording.
It's funny that because I've had lots of times when Molly afterwards would be like, do you realize you said that? And then I don't.
Yep.
And I'm like, did I really? And then I'll go back and listen and be like,
Well, and the thing is, like, I wasn't like in the pew, like calling out like heresy because you said it was unbelievable.
We can't believe it.
Yeah. But like, because I knew what you meant, but it is just funny wording. It's very
so like even staying on the Bible, there is some stuff in here that like I've been reading because I'm doing this reading plan called To the Word. And it's basically 6 chapters a day, and then you read through... It's essentially, give or take, 6 chapters a day.
So what's that, like half a year for the Bible?
Yeah, I think it's like a school year. So it's like September till May or April or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And it's a lot. I'm currently behind because like there's been a few days where I'm like, stuff happens in the morning and I just don't have time. So I'm a few days behind, but I've actually really enjoyed it because... I guess different seasons of life. Sometimes you're in a season where like, man, I just need to like really chew on like a couple of verses.
Yeah.
That's not where I'm at right now. I'm like, I need to see like the big
picture. Yeah.
But even this morning, it was interesting. Like I've been in 2 Samuel and a lot of it, you just kind of go through full books. They'll just like, okay, 6 chapters a day, get through 2 Samuel. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
But like David's life, it was super interesting. Like, cause he's like God's man. Right. And then he sleeps with Bathsheba. And I know that it's like God restores him, but it's been fascinating. The rest of 2 Samuel basically is like, here's the fallout from your really dumb decision.
Hmm.
And I don't know if I've noticed that, like David's life is hard, but reading like huge chunks, I'm like, okay, look, like this happened. And before it's like David had victory, David did this, nothing did, he's killed thousands, blah, 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 his kingdom. And then it's like, you know, okay, he does this thing with Bathsheba, his child dies, and then this terrible thing happens between some of his kids with Tamar. I'm not going to get into the story, but it's really gross. It's like his one son is in love with his sister, And then Absalom murders his one son, murders the other son. And then, and it's just like awful.
Yep.
And then there's rebellion and David has to flee and then his son dies. And then I found this really interesting. David's all mourning because his son is dead. And then the guy comes and says, like, why are you mourning, you idiot? Like, now everyone thinks that you love this wicked son more than you love them. And I'm like, David's life falls apart at the end.
Yeah.
So anyways, it's been just interesting reading like big chunks of, you know, six chapters takes me about a half hour to read, like, because I'm a pretty fast reader. But you kind of get the bigger, if I would just do a couple of verses a day, which again, sometimes that's great. But then I think I miss out on like the, oh, okay, I'm seeing things I never saw before.
I think that's, at least in my experience, and from the gist that I've got of talking to other young adults especially, I think that's the hard part, though, when it comes to studying the Bible, is that it's like we get very content with like the, not to bash it, but like the Our Daily Bread style devotional, totally, where it's like one verse where it's like, do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you, reprove a wise man and he will love you. Proverbs, you know, 9,
and
whatever.
Then it's like Joe Montana was a young man.
And then we just have a story that we can relate to, right? and again, not to bash it, because those things, I do believe that God can use those things to help us grow. But it's hard then when we're like, the one Bible plan, I always joke about it because it was a Bible plan to read it through in a year in a chronological order, and I'm on year 3 of the first year.
Yeah.
And I'm still not through it, but it is hard because we don't know how to read it so that we can see the big picture, right? Mm-hmm. We always, because I think we've been so used to that like little nugget of wisdom picture that the Bible is presented as, when we go to read it full picture, we're like, oh, there's so many names. Oh, they're this. Hey, want to read the Silmarillion for Lord of the Rings? Yeah, absolutely, right? Because it's to us, it's different, but it's such a, the reason I bring it up is just because it's such an extensive like history of the Lord of the Rings universe.
Yeah.
And we'd be, some people would be glad to read that.
Yeah.
So I think it's interesting to bring in the element of like God is at work through his scripture that he's inspired through his Holy Spirit still to this day.
Mm-hmm.
And yet there's an element of discipline where we are and we should be reading through it consistently, right? Because God is going to continue to reveal himself in ways that help us better understand who he is. And that's not to say there's secret knowledge. I'm just saying he somehow in his glory and majesty and wisdom continues to reveal, I like to say, the same things over and over, but in a way that like, it's like when you're playing peekaboo with a baby. It's like, what? Mm-hmm. Like they continue to not understand it and then re-understand it every time. Like it's so interesting.
So give us your top 2 to 3 apps or reading plans, or I'm just thinking like the person listening going like, okay, I want to get started on this. So I'll give one. Like I said, the one that I'm using right now is not an app. I literally printed it because you're supposed to like, they don't have a app version. Yep. So it's just called To the Word. And it's by date.
So would they Google it?
Yeah, I think if you Googled, but it's already started, like, but you could jump in, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But it has it all dated. Like, it started September 5th, and every day you just kind of check the box and it tells you. Some of the reasons I like it is, like, so for instance, this morning I read some stuff in 2 Samuel. And for instance, in 2 Samuel 22, David sings this song of deliverance. And then part of it was, okay, now go to Psalm 52, and it's the same. So you're kind of connecting like, oh, okay, that's when he wrote that psalm. Like,
yeah.
So that's cool. I also love the Read Scripture app. You might have that one.
I don't think I do.
That's from the Bible Project, Read Scripture.
I thought that app was only coming out.
No, or this is their old one. They're making a new one, but it's like all their
That's cool
pictures. So basically, they do the you kind of set up your journey, they call it, which I'm like cheesy, but basically, it's a chronological reading plan through the entire Bible. But the reason I really like it is that they'll have videos interspersed.
Yep.
So for instance, if I go, okay, I'm going to be in the prophets before the exile. Okay.
Then they would
today
have, like,
you're going to read Isaiah 1-4, but you're going to watch the video that intros the first half of the book of Isaiah.
Oh, okay.
And it explains what's going on. And then you read it and then you kind of like, yep, check. Okay. So they'll do that. Or if a theme is coming up they'll do some of their Bible Project theme videos.
Yeah.
So it's called Read Scripture. I'm not using that one right now because I'm using the other one, but I have often used that one where I go, okay, I'm going to be reading in Zephaniah, and then they'll have a video of what is Zephaniah all about.
Yeah.
And then, anyways, that's what do you cool.
I use just the Bible app. I don't even think the word "the" is in front of it technically in the App Store. I think it's just called Bible.
Right.
You can get all sorts of different translations on it. You can read just straight from the Bible, or you can get a whole bunch of different plans. Any type of plan. I have the one that I'm going through that was the Bible in the year in chronological order. Similar to the Bible Project, but without the little excerpts of like, yeah, hey, this is what it's about. That's called As It Happened.
That's cool.
So it's the same concept, right? If you're reading about David going through his stuff in life, then it'll jump to Psalms and show you where he wrote those Psalms as well. Bible Project has studies on there as well. So I've been using some of those. It's a really expansive app. The thing that I like about this one, so like, I, as a borderline Gen Z millennial, because I'm born literally right in that year where if you look at any documents, they're like, yeah, millennials are from like X year to like 1996. And then the next one is like, yeah, Gen Z starts at 1994. And it's like, right in that weird window. I love technology that allows me to stay connected with other people to help me with stuff like this. So right now I'm going through a plan with one of my good friends.
Oh, cool.
And so like, it shows both of our progress through the plan. So if we fall behind, then we can like text each other or call each other. Or when we see each other, we can be like, hey, you're falling behind. Like, let's keep going. It's good. So I really enjoyed that aspect of the app.
That's cool.
I've tried using Logos Bible app.
Yeah.
I personally find that software incredibly hard to navigate.
Yes, it is. I agree.
From what I have heard, it is an incredibly diverse app for study. But every time I use it, I'm just like, this is just too frustrating. I'm going to go.
It is. Yeah. I had it on my MacBook and now I have an iPad that I use for everything. And I was like, this is so dumb. I can't use this anymore.
Yeah.
I had to watch a few videos that I'm like, oh, why didn't they just make it easier? So anyways.
Another one that I use, it's not an app, it's actually a YouTube channel, because I'm a huge visual learner. So even for myself, it might sound dumb, but for me, even watching someone speak about something, usually the information sticks better than if I like read a paragraph about it. There's a couple of channels that I watch, but one of the big ones is a channel. He's a pastor and his name is Mike Winger. You may have heard of him.
Bible Thinker?
Yeah. He does really, really extensive biblical based like topical series type thing. Yeah. So if you ever have questions, he's answered a ton already. And what he does is he will search up as close to, if not all of the verses in the Bible that will pertain to that subject.
Yeah.
And then he'll kind of weigh out, well, like, is it a command? Cause if it's a command, usually it's obvious. Or is it like one of those things where it's like, in practice, be careful of these things, cautious, right? So I really appreciate that. It's helped me even kind of understand how to go about studying certain things, right? Yeah. So like if a question comes up in my life, a prime example right now with vaccines and stuff, the word vaccine is nowhere in the Bible. So how do you find what the Bible has to say about stuff like that?
Yeah.
Right. So that's been really cool. I've used that quite a bit.
Yeah. I don't do devotions anymore. I just watch The Chosen.
Yeah.
I did see a funny meme where they're like, what was it? It was like a sticker that you put on your Bible that says like, careful, The Chosen spoilers are in here or something like that.
That's great. That's awesome.
I thought that was so funny. Speaking of that, I laughed too that do you remember when that miniseries, the 10-week miniseries called The Bible came out? This would probably have been like at least 10 years ago, but it was like made from the producers of Survivor.
They made a
10-week miniseries called The Bible, which apparently was supposed to be like, and it touched on like creation, the flood, all the big stories, and people were like losing their minds. This is so faithful to the Bible, blah, blah, blah. I went to a Christian bookstore in Abbotsford, and they had, I kid you not, they had a book, like it said, the Bible.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like a Bible. It was a book based on the TV series, The Bible. Goodness. I'm like,
Just you could just read the Bible.
I was like, I could just see the like producers of the show. How can we make some more money? Hey guys, let's do
right.
Let's do a novel based on the TV show, The Bible. And,
yeah.
And someone wasn't like, guys, that already exists. Yeah. It's called The Bible.
Yeah.
Anyways,
they're already in print. Yeah. What do you have on your list to talk about?
So I did have one of yours was the same as mine.
Sweet.
The discussion about the Bible, but also, and I can't remember if I had mentioned this on a podcast, but I've changed the way I preach, which has been interesting.
Oh yeah,
it's been 4 weeks.
I can't remember if you mentioned it on a podcast. I can't remember,
or that I was gonna like try it, or
yeah.
But for our Advent series, like, so for those who don't know, and here's a little window into the preparing a sermon. Usually, I'll like read commentaries, pray, read the Bible, take notes, and I'll have like 8 pages of notes ish, 7 or 8. And then I kind of like color coordinate them based on like an outline of a sermon. But then yeah. I would literally like sit in my office and type like a full manuscript, like
almost verbatim.
Yeah. And sometimes if you were, because sometimes I'm here in the morning without anybody else here, but you could possibly hear me like just talking, you know, well, welcome to North PCME Church. If you've got a Bible, da-da. And when Jesus says, and I just type out every single word I'm going to say. So it's usually like an 8-page manuscript. But me and you had talked about that, like preaching styles.
Yeah, because I'm just learning to preach. And yeah, so what I had been finding is that in our discussions, for me, writing out a manuscript, if you haven't seen me preach, you can watch those videos. But like if you have, you'll know that I really struggle to like engage with the congregation yeah. or with the live stream right now because I... What happens in my mind is when I start reading, even though I know what I'm going to be saying, because I've written the sermon, I've done all the yeah. studying, and I know what God wants me to say, I'll get so scared that I start reading it. So essentially, we were talking yeah. about how, like, for me, that is a huge struggle. So I was thinking of starting to change how I preach, not in the sense of, like, what I preach or the substance. That's the word. Thank you. The substance.
Yeah, yeah.
The substance of it. But it would just my notes so that I would be preaching off that would be different. So Andrew and I talked about it and.
Yeah. So then I was like, I'm going to try this. The reason I think one of the reasons it's that I liked doing the manuscript thing is that it's like it's a safety blanket. I know that it is like, because it's there. If I ever like, oh no, crap. What was I saying? I can just look down. But even I had watched some, like I was reading a lot and I would look up and blah, 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 but I was reading. And in seminary, when I took a hermeneutics class or no, that's hermeneutics is not preaching, whatever the theological word for preaching is. What is that?
We'll just
call it a preaching class.
Yeah.
I know there's like a more like scholarly word for it.
I'll Google it while you talk.
I remember then you had to prepare like, you know, a mini 15-minute sermon that you would preach in front of. You should look up what is a preaching class called or something like that. Is there a, anyways, you would preach a 15-20-minute sermon in class in front of your classmates and then they would like critique you. But I remember one guy got up and he was like, I'm not going to have any notes.
Homiletics,
not hermeneutics. Homiletics. That's preaching. So then this guy got up and he didn't have any notes. He was like, yeah, I've memorized it. Da, 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 da. And he started and like 10 minutes into it, he's going. Da, 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 and then he just kind of stops. And you know, you can tell that look when someone is like, I'm reaching into the far
you archives. You see the gears turning.
Yeah, you can. And he was just kind of staring off. And then he just kind of said, I guess I'm done. I can't remember.
I'd be curious if he had typed it out word for word.
I don't know.
And then forgotten where he was at and just couldn't pick it up again.
So, and it was a good sermon, like, yeah. But he just went and sat down. And I remember that day being like, man, I never want that. So I've been preaching for, if you include like youth talks and stuff like that, like we're year 7 here. It's almost 15 years, always the same. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to try it. So for our Advent series, I just kind of made some bullet point notes So I went from like an 8-page manuscript to like 4 pages of bullet point notes. And I would write out the scriptures that I would use so I don't have to try and, oh, I can't find it.
Yep.
And that was a big chunk of it. And then just like, if I had a quote, I would put it in and then just kind of like, here's where we're going. And I have like thoroughly enjoyed it way more. Way more.
Really?
Yeah.
Because like the preparation
both.
Part of it?
I found that my prep time is way less because I still do all the research and all the note taking, but because I handwrite, I know what I want to say. I know it's in here.
Yeah.
And then I just bullet point it. And then so a lot of times it would be like Thursday afternoons, I'm finishing sermons, and now it's like Wednesday afternoons.
Hmm.
So it's like almost, and not that I sit all day, but I'm done my sermon a day ahead. So I'm like, okay, so it's streamlined.
Yeah.
But then even delivery is, it's more fun, if that's the right word to use.
I get that.
Because I feel like I'm not, there's been lots where I can actually like, I'm engaging and I'm looking around because I know where I'm at on the point and I can still look. There's still some safety blanket there.
Yep.
But I've just found this. I'm like, man, I wish I had started doing this like 5 years ago. This is so much better.
That's really cool. I'm interested because like we've talked even about like the next time I preach that I think that's what I'm going to do. And like for those of you who don't know, that's something that like freaks me out because I'm so used to having that being able to like, oh, I don't remember exactly what I'm going to say. And I'll just look down and find it on the page and just start reading. Right. Yeah. And then I can't look up because I'm reading and like I can't break that. So I'm excited to try it. I do find like when I'm doing youth ministry or whenever I do speak publicly or anything, I find for me, even when leading, a good example, I think, is Bible studies. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes and most of the time I do a lot of study before on the subject.
Yeah.
A lot of thinking, praying, all that good stuff. But when it comes to the actual thing, unless the study has questions that are like bullet points, I hardly ever look at the material that I've pre-prepared because it's up there, like you said. It's in my head already.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to see how God has designed us to be able to remember those things, but then also how in unison the Holy Spirit works with us to bring to things mind to say or to your mind to say. And like, it's really cool when you can start engaging with the people a little bit more than when you're reading. Because even the last time that I did preach, I was able to look around a little bit more, and I just instantly it felt like, this makes a lot more sense why this is a cool thing to do. It doesn't feel like a task anymore, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was worried that I was going to ramble a lot more, but I haven't. My sermons are,
they've been good.
But they've been even a little bit shorter because I think I don't. And that was, it was funny. I just did my evaluation, which we don't do very often because it's just people are busy. But one of the things was like, Andrew, one of the they never say like it's a negative thing. It's like, oh, this is an area you can work on.
Yeah.
But one of the ones was like, you repeat yourself a lot in your sermons. And I kind of thought back and I'm like, I do. But this way helps me not, which I wouldn't think. I would think it would be the opposite, that if I don't have it all written out, then I'm just going to ramble on and repeat myself. But it hasn't. It's actually been the opposite, which I'm like, that's super interesting.
I wonder if in part, I could be wrong, but I wonder if in part it's like, when you're having a conversation with someone, oftentimes, especially someone like me, will repeat things.
Yep.
But in conversation, that feels more natural than if you've written it out, right?
Yep, totally.
Because I would say, like, even just a really plain example, if you've ever been to school and had to write, like, a short story, writing the narrative is relatively simple. But once you go to dialogue, it's hard, right? So if you're, quote-unquote, dialoguing with a congregation, right? If you've written out what you're going to say, it might be more complex or more, like, restating the same idea over and over instead of being able to, like, reiterate ideas instead of restating them.
Yeah.
So, that's interesting.
So that's been fun the last month. And I don't know if it'll be different when it's not like a topical series because we've been in Advent. If it'll be different when we're back in the Gospel of John and it's we'll see, but it's been fun.
That's cool.
What else do you got?
It depends on how many items we want to talk about. I think one of the ones that I had written, not I think, I do know that this is one that I had written, but one that I would like to touch on is spiritual discernment. And then along with that, like our own paradigms, which means essentially like your worldview, your point of view on something. The reason I'm going to combine both of them, because they were two separate points in my little notes that I have, is I've seen so much, even with the other episodes that we record when we do like our not context is key, but the podcast cast reacts where like, hey, yeah, we want to discern, and we crack a lot of jokes and we talk about them. I was thinking about it, and like, if you watch, which is really hard to do, if you watch any Kenneth Copeland sermons if you watch any Benny Hinn stuff or any of those things, like it's painful to sit through them and think of all the thousands of people that are giving millions of dollars to these two guys.
Yeah.
And more, there's more preachers like that out there.
Yep.
And the theology and the doctrine and everything is so unbiblical. Like, so I think I don't even quite know where to go with it, but I think for me, it was just, how do we teach actual spiritual discernment? I recognize that some of it is obviously through the work of the Holy Spirit convicting you when things are not right. Like I get that. That can't be taught. That's only by the grace of God that he does that for us sometimes. Mm-hmm. But there are also things where like God has also not made us dumb, right? And if we have the knowledge of who he says he is in scripture and stuff, then there are things that we can call to mind. So I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on like, how do you grow in that area so that when things come your way, you're not just tossed and turned by everything? Cause even with a good example for myself is even with the Bible Project stuff that we're going through, it's a huge paradigm shift from what I had. And I would say to clarify to someone listening, it's not that they're teaching the wrong thing and that I'm like, oh yeah, I'm completely changing my worldview, but it's more like there's a more full understanding being brought in, but it feels like I'm being like my position on where I can view the Bible from is being changed, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like if you're thinking in a 3D space.
Yeah.
So like, how do we operate in that area of when you're learning new things if they're actually biblical?
That's a great question, because I agree. Like even because we're going through a course for the Genesis 1-11, and when he kind of gave me, you know, maybe this is a view where Genesis 1 is the ideal. Like here's what the ideal would look like, and then Genesis 2 is here's how it actually played out. I remember at first being like, "What?
Yeah,
I've never been taught that." Like, no Genesis, but then you kind of go, well, yeah, that kind of clears up a lot of the inconsistencies between Genesis 1 and 2 that you have to try and, you know, but I hear what you're saying. All of a sudden it's like, well, that doesn't change that God created everything. It just makes me look at it, differently. But that's such a good question. Like how, because we have such easy access to, like, you can listen to any preacher, any sermon, any Bible study from around the world. Like, I think never before in human history has it been easier to just like, you can look up any.
Yeah. And even back in biblical times, Paul warned against people preaching this. So if it was an issue back then, I would say it's all the more prevalent.
Yeah, those teachers would sneak into the churches, right?
Yeah.
And they would, because church looked different back then, right? And so they would kind of sneak in and bring some teachings in. But now it's just via the internet, and we just have...
You pick and choose.
Yeah, and if you don't know, then I've talked to lots of people who are like, what's so wrong with Joel Osteen? What's so wrong with Bill Johnson or Stephen Furtick or some of these guys that we on the podcast would be like, do not listen to them. It's awful.
Yeah.
And yet I've had conversations with people in our own church who are like, I don't see what's so... Like one person said, like, I listen to Joel Osteen and I feel so encouraged afterwards. Like, what's wrong with that?
So I do want to clarify, if we're talking about this, that when we mention stuff like, we've talked to people that we know, if you're listening, we're not calling you out. We are legitimately asking that question, because this goes for us too. Like, Andrew and I are both introduced to new material often, right?
Yep.
And so we go through that same process of having to discern whether or not it's biblical, whether or not it is a good thing to be listening to that will actually teach us about the Christian life and about how to follow Jesus, right?
Yeah. So I think one is that people don't like to read. There's a great book, and I'm going to look on the shelf. It's a book called Why Johnny Can't Preach. And it's a follow-up book to a book that this guy wrote called Why Johnny Can't Read. and basically, he talks about...
Those are good titles.
It's a follow-up book because he's talking about how so many pastors have no idea how to preach.
Yeah.
And he said the, one of the reasons is that in our culture, so many people don't read. The Bible, let alone anything. Because like I fall into this. I go home, what am I going to do after I put my kids to bed? Read a book or watch Netflix.
Yep.
And it's just, I'm just going to watch Netflix.
Yep.
And so I think one of the reasons that we get sucked into false teaching or not having discernment is that we don't read it for ourselves, one. Yep.
Yeah.
And then so when someone says like, because all these guys who we would warn about, they quote the Bible, right? It's, you know, Todd White, he'll say, oh yeah, Isaiah 40 blah, says this, and this is what it means. And if you don't know, you're like, oh, I guess that's what it means.
Yeah.
When a lot of times it's like, what? That's not what that means. So I think one, we don't like to read, and I hear that excuse all the time, all the time.
I'm guilty of giving it.
Yeah. Have you read your Bible? I don't really like to read.
Yep.
Well, you are never going to learn how to discern what is true if you never spend any time in it, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's a discipline to learn, okay, I'm actually going to discipline myself to read. But not only that, so that's one aspect, but I think lots of times beyond the reading, we don't like to study.
Yeah.
Because sure, I'll read Micah chapter 4, but do I know what it says and what it means? Well, I just don't have the time to buy a commentary. And we just think that's too nerdy or that's the pastor's job, right?
Yeah.
And so to actually spend the time to go, okay, I'm going to read the book of Micah, but I want to know what does this actually mean?
Yeah.
I might be wrong, but I think few people do that.
Yeah.
We just just tell me, pastor man, what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
So then you hear, because you have such easy access to so many things, and then you just don't have any kind of discernment. Yeah. Because, and then this another thing might be, we just assume that this guy has my best interest he has my best interest
in mind
not in your heart. So we assume, well, why would he lie to me? So yeah. I'm just going to believe what he says.
I know early on when I first started coming to the MB, that was something that I appreciated, because in one of your sermons you said, test what I'm saying, in the sense of go and look for yourself, don't just read the words on the screen.
Yeah.
Open your Bibles to it. And I know that should be true of anyone you listen to.
Oh, totally.
You should never, the hope and the goal, so to speak, would be that, yes, we would create disciples that preach the word faithfully.
Yeah.
But we are human and we're sinful, right?
Yeah, totally.
So still check the word. The word is inspired by God. Yes, it was written by people, but the we can trust that the Bible has been the inspired word of God from when it was made till now as well.
Mm-hmm.
So test it by going back to the word and reading.
Yeah.
I don't know if we want to open up this can of worms today, but it opens up that whole other question then of how can some people read it and get such a different view of it? So for someone who might not know all of the ins and outs, it might seem like a reasonable connection to make of well, we would consider ourselves evangelical Christians, but how can Mormons read the same book and not get the same thing? Now, if you're not aware, Mormons have other literature that they read as well that completely then skews their view of the Bible.
Yeah.
It's such an interesting conversation, because then there is, I don't know, for me, the word spiritual discernment, I consider it one word, or the term, I guess, would maybe be a better word for that.
Mm-hmm.
I always first off think of the Holy Spirit and then discernment, right? Mm-hmm. So I think you're entirely right about we need to actually get into the Bible, which is hard to do. That's easier said than done, but we need to. And then I think we should be honestly and earnestly praying that the Spirit would expose truth to us through the scripture, right? Because we can't even come to a saving faith in Jesus without the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts.
Yep.
So how can we expect to know truth about Jesus if the Holy Spirit isn't revealing himself to us, right? So it's an interesting, it's such a weird tension to hold as Christians, where it's like, yes, I could read this and an atheist could read this and get two very different things from it. And without the working of the Holy Spirit, there's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. It's yeah, such an interesting.
I think too, like, one, people might get to a different interpretation than you because they're in it for gain. Mm. So like, why do Kenneth Copeland and Benny Hinn get to such weird interpretations? Because they're charlatans.
Yeah, hucksters. They are wolves in sheep clothing.
So yeah, they get to that interpretation because it fits their narrative to send them money. The other piece could be like, I just grabbed our confession of faith. I actually really appreciate the MB confession of faith around the written word of God. Cause it says this: we believe that the entire Bible was inspired by God through the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit guides the community of faith in the interpretation of Scripture. Hmm. So meaning the MB denominations would say that we interpret the Bible in community. We don't have guru so-and-so who interprets the Bible and tells us, even me, right, as a pastor, we interpret the Bible in community as a group of elders, as a church. Like if I got up and was like, hey, I think the Bible says that I can have a second wife or whatever, right?
Yeah.
The community would go, no, you're wrong, because here, this is why.
Yeah.
And so I think that's huge when you can actually, now that doesn't mean that you'll always agree.
Yep.
Right? There's people in our church that have different views on all sorts of things, but on like the major tenets of the faith, that's why if a Sunday school teacher all of a sudden says like, you know, maybe Jesus isn't God, we would go, whoa, 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 whoa. Okay, let's look at the Bible together and we'll show you that you're a heretic.
or that thought, if they were a Christian, isn't true. Right,
right? Yeah.
Because I think that's the other thing that we do as churches in North America, especially, as soon as someone has even a way of explaining the same concept different than us, we say, whoa, whoa, whoa. Yep. Like, we don't do that here. Yep. You need to go to that church over there where they believe it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's like, well, no, that's not what we're called to do. Even with other bodies of Christ throughout North America, we should be reading it as a community to say, well, this is what the Scripture says.
Mm-hmm.
And then still having that good discussion around it, right? Because there are very well things that you might not understand perfectly as well, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's amazing how the Holy Spirit is able to work through that then too. And so I think that's where, when it comes to discernment, again, like you said, going to the Bible is important, but I would say too that you should ultimately rely on the Spirit to reveal himself to you and be seeking what the Holy Spirit has to teach you. And I know there are tons of people, again, it feels like it's an ongoing thing where it's like, yeah, but there's always those people, right? But there is people that will say like, well, the Holy Spirit revealed this to me, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like Joseph Smith is one of those people that would say, well, no, God and the Holy Spirit revealed to me that God told a lie in the Bible. So they wouldn't say that, but they are saying that in reality. So then you can take those things and say, well, once again, like, how do we know what is true? You put it to Scripture and check, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's good. I got to go get my kids soon.
Oh, it's that time already, hey?
Birthday plans? What are you doing tonight?
It's COVID, man.
So a nice quiet night. Does your family still do like presents?
Yeah.
Like your mom and dad and sisters?
Well, they haven't yet. I mean, my one sister is not in Canada, so she
that's
probably
true.
Won't.
That's true.
My other sister, I don't know. She might. I don't know.
My parents just send money now every year.
That's fair.
Here's $100 or whatever it is.
To be honest, as I get older and older, for me, it's just I like having people around. I remember it was early on in coming to the MB, relatively early on. My dad said he was going to take me out for breakfast on my birthday. It was a Sunday morning, and I was like, oh yeah, that's kind of cool. Okay. Well, I say okay, it makes it sound like I wasn't that excited. I was genuinely excited because I was like, that's sweet.
Cool.
My relationship with my dad had been growing, and so it was like, yeah, that's cool. And I think it was like the day before, he was like, is it okay if your older sister comes too? And I was like, yeah, sure, okay. And when we got to the restaurant, this was pre-COVID, there was probably close to 10 to 15 of my good friends that I'd been building
That's
here
cool.
as I came back. And I actually almost cried in the restaurant because it blew me away that people would do that. So I'm an extrovert. What I'm saying with that whole story is to me, having a group of people around me on special days to me is what's special to me. If I get gifts, yes, I do appreciate them. They're cool.
Yeah.
But cool. it's the, the people around me that make a difference. And that's corny and cliche, wow, maybe, but
that's
I genuinely mean that. Right?
Welcome to the Hallmark episode.
Yeah, it is Christmas. It's our Hallmark Christmas episode.
Well, thanks for tuning in to another episode of Off the Record. And we'll keep doing these. I did have one feedback that we're like, we love it.
Yeah, I've had actually some feedback already too.
So that's good. We'll just keep doing this from time to time. And hope you have a good week. And we'll talk to you later.